Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at a series called Crisis Proof, Biblical Certainties in an Uncertain World, because of course we live in an uncertain world, and I believe God was not taken by surprise with what was happening, and I believe he can help us in the difficulties and the challenges that we face at this moment in time. And so we've been doing a series, as I said, called Crisis Proof, and I started doing it with a couple of messages, and then God reminded me of an incident that happened as I was a young minister, and we were along to a training day in Govan, and one of our senior ministers started a quote from Psalm 46 in verse 1, which many of you will know, God is a refuge and strength and an ever-present help in time of trouble. And he just stopped after he said, God is. And as soon as he said that, he just says, like, because God is, it's going to be all right, basically. And as I began to prepare for this series, I just felt that I should do some talks on God is. So it's become like a mini-series within a series. And as I began to work on this, there's just so much. It's just so huge. The words God is are mentioned over 163 times in the Bible. So I've whittled it down to a dozen. And we've looked at 9 topics so far. God is true, God is near, God is faithful, and God is the one who goes before. He's sovereign, he's with us, he's our rock, he's our helper and sustainer, and he's for us when we are with him. And so we've looked at that and kind of applied them, what that means to us. For if God is sovereign, almighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, is he Lord of our diaries? Is he Lord of our fears? Is he Lord of our offenses? Is he Lord of our fear of people? So we've looked at and applied these things. And if you've missed any of them and would like to look and check them, then look on YouTube or Facebook and you will see these messages there. Because God is, I've said every week since then, we can be so much more because of who he is. And so today I want us to look at the subject of God is able. And I want to give you a verse that's been a really, really important verse to me, particularly last year, but it's been a very important verse to me in my life. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And it says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." It's a tremendous verse, an amazing verse. It's a verse that really justifies spending a whole day on that verse itself. The Amplified Version, which brings out different nuances in the text and expands the meaning, says this, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and every act of charity." And so God is able. There's no limits to God's saving power. There are no limits to God's keeping power. There are no limits to God's enabling power. There are no limits to his miracle-working power. As the new song Rattle says, you're not going to run out of miracles anytime soon. And we've heard even today of miracles. People have told me of things that God has done and how he's come through for them. There are no limits to God's power, full stop. And there's many, many verses that we could have picked today on the theme God is able. I've picked a few. We might not get there. But the first one is, God is able to make all grace abound. And that's based on the verse that I shared a few moments ago. And I want to spend most of my time on this today, but to pick up one or two others as well. This verse is really about giving. It's in the context of giving, but I believe it's got a wider context. God is able to do amazing things. God's able to give his grace to you when you need his grace. It's God's grace that enabled Alison to give a wonderful testimony this morning, and it's carried her through the last year. God's grace. And I see the picture of You know these mid-air fuelings when the fighter jets are in battle, and then they've got this big jet, big aeroplane beside it. It's got a tanker, and they put forth their long tube, and then it goes right into the front of the fighter jet, and they're able to draw fuel from this jet that comes alongside, this aeroplane that comes alongside. And I think that's a great picture of God's grace coming to us, that he's got us a reservoir full of grace that we can plug into for the battles that we face, and we can draw strength and ability from him. And so whatever your need or challenge today, God is able. Whatever our dreams or ambitions, God is able. However long lockdown lasts, or however many twists and turns it takes, God is able. Whatever the challenges you are facing in your workplace, your business, God is able. Whatever the opposition, God is able. Whatever the difficulties, be them personal, in your family, in your wider circle, God is able. Because God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you. It's a great word, that all grace. And Warren Wiersbe, the commentator, picks up here. He says, the universals in this verse are staggering. All grace, always, all sufficiency, every good work. Can you see that, what he's saying there? All of these things are available. And you will know that there's different facets to grace. The Bible actually speaks about common grace, that every common person who's alive gets his grace from God. They get the sun to shine, they get the rain, and different blessings that God puts on us for our prosperity, our health, our happiness, natural capacities, giftings, all that. There's common grace. That's why there are people that are non-Christians that behave better sometimes than some Christians, because of that deposit of enabling grace that God gives, a common grace that God gives to people. And then there's what theologians, particularly John Wesley in the Methodist movement, began by saying. It was about prevenient grace. It's the grace that God shows to us before we even get saved that enables us to come to saving faith in him. That you will have traced your life as I'll have traced mine. I thought, that was God's hand. That was God's hand. Looking back now, I didn't see it then, but I see it now. And then it brings us to the point where we need to get saved, and we realize it's not because of any works or good deeds that we do, and that's called saving grace. And then we have this, what we're looking at today, enabling grace, the power that God gives to us to be who we're meant to be, to do what we're meant to do. James 4 and 6 says, but he gives us more grace. Philippians 4:13, which many of you know, people used to have it emblazoned in their T-shirts. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And probably it's highlighted best for me, and it came to my mind as I was preparing this, an old song that people used to sing years ago. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials is multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And this is a verse. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. And I think that for me encapsulates this. So God is able to make all grace abound. All grace, we've looked at all the facets of it, abound, not just in limited measure, but in full measure, abound to you. It's personal. So there's grace for you, and there's grace for me. So that in all things, Romans 8:28 tells us, all things work together for good. Because of this, there's grace for the season. You know, at the start of COVID, when I was praying one day, I felt that God spoke to me, and he told me that he was in this. I didn't mean that God caused it, but that he would use this, that we can believe to come out stronger. And the third thing he told me, there was grace for the season, and I believed that. And I've communicated that. I've communicated it numerous times, and 10 of 10, it's in my report for the AGM. It was what God did and what he showed me. And it's based on this verse. This is the biblical verse. You know, if God speaks things into our life, it should be biblical. And he spoke this into my life, and this is a verse that tells us about it. That in every, in all things, in every situation, in all things, there's grace. And I've watched people, and many of you here today, and people that were in the first service, that have seen this grace that God gives in the most difficult circumstances and situations in life. So Nick Vujicic, who I find very inspirational, the guy who was born without arms and legs, and what he's able to do is a living example of that. And my great friend Sandy Jimison, and Sandy's preached here many times, as did his late wife Jan, and when Jan went to be with Jesus, I was asked to take the funeral, and I remember being there at the close of the funeral. We sang that Hillsong song, "So may the ruins come to life and the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, you're forever the same." And as we worshipped at the end of that service, I saw Sandy, now left on his own, without his bride from his early days, standing and raising his hands and worshipping Jesus. And I know that spoke to many, many people. It spoke to me. I spoke to Sandy afterwards, and Sandy says he just knew that it was that moment, and he found that grace and that strength from God in the moment, so that in all things, at all times. So there's never a time in your life or my time when we don't know that strength, in delayed answer to prayer times, in COVID times, in times of illness, in times of bereavement, when you've been criticized, when you've failed. There's a never-ending supply of God's grace. Having all that you need, all the grace, thoroughly equipped. I remember a time when God spoke to me to call our discipleship class many years ago, 20 years ago, thoroughly equipped, based on 2 Timothy 3:16, where the Bible where it speaks about the inspiration of Scripture, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So having all you need, you will abound. So he makes his grace abound, and he makes you abound in every good work. As I mentioned earlier, this verse is really in the context of giving, but it's for every situation, I believe, in life. And I believe if we apply the truth of that verse, as I've tried to tease it out a little bit this morning, to our lives, you will find resources and strength that you never knew you had. And you will get through your season. I speak prophetically over you today, for those of you who are listening here and online, that you will get through your season. God will help you get through your season on the strength of this verse as you look to him. Secondly, I'm looking at he is able. The Bible says he is able to establish us, according to Romans 16:25. And I have a picture in my mind of a tiny little seedling that grows and grows. And you know how nowadays they put around it like a plastic, looks like a drain pipe, round about them to protect them from the ravages of the animals or humans. Sometimes they're worse than the animals. And so you get these little saplings that grow. You know, and it's powerful. Somebody said that an oak tree began with a little nut who stood its ground. And so, you know, that's that little thing. It seems so small to start with. That tiny bit of faith that begins in our heart, that moving towards him, and then God establishes it. He's able to establish us. He establishes us with his word. He establishes us here in Found Church. We have discipleship groups, we have alpha groups, we have life groups, we've got many specialist miracle groups. And we've got the avenue of open prayer when we need help to come to God and ask him to help us. I listened to a preacher say recently, he says he prayed a prayer, and he says it was kind of, all that you could say was like I thought up. That was his prayer. Nothing theological, he just had an upward thought. That was where it all began. But you know, I don't know about you, but it seems to me more often nowadays I make a phone call, particularly to insurance companies and people like that, and the phone will ring and it'll say, "You are held in a queuing system. But your call is important to us. Please continue to hold. And then it'll say, our operators are experiencing a very high level of demand at this moment in time. Your call is important to us. Please continue to hold. We are sorry that we have kept you so long today. We are experiencing a tremendous amount of phone calls at this particular time. Please continue to hold. We will be with you shortly. And after 33 songs later, you finally get through and you speak to somebody and they can't help you and they tell you to phone back. And you have to go through the whole system again. But it's not like that with God. He's open 24/7. And I thank God for that, to establish us. You know, the godly have deep roots, it says in Proverbs 12 and 3. And then thirdly, a marvelous truth, he's able to keep you from falling. Jude in 24, the New Testament book of Jude that only has one chapter, verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from falling. You know, we've all these resources that I mentioned a few moments ago, but we've also some great examples. I was speaking at a men's meeting on Monday night this week, and the men in this particular church are going through series of biblical characters. I was able to choose my own Bible character. And as I looked at the Bible character, I was able to say that, you know, God lets us see the whole picture in somebody's life. You know, we see the good, the bad, the ugly, and we can learn from it all. And the Bible tells us about stuff that we can learn from. And it gives us examples of people who have done things well, and we could say, well, if God helped them, he'll help me. And then you could see people who do things badly, and you think, well, help me, Lord, not to make the same mistakes as they made. And one of the scriptures that speaks to me in relation to that, that God is able to keep us from falling, that he's provided these things to help us, to show us, is 1 Corinthians 10, where the Bible tells us about the children of Israel and the mistakes they made and the things that they went through, their grumbling, their complaining, their attitudes, their idolatry, all the kinds of things that they did that was wrong. And then it says this, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things like they did. And it goes on to apply what they did to our lives today and basically says, don't you make the same mistakes as they made. Learn from these experiences and apply them to your life. Peter's the same. You see, he doesn't want us to fall either, and he fell. He opened his mouth sometimes without putting his brain in gear. He did that many, many times. He also was impetuous in his actions, rash, cutting off the servant, remember, ear with his sword. And so he was rash. But Peter wrote an epistle, and he tells us to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, and he goes through a whole list of things that we can do. And then it says in 2 Peter 1, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So he said, listen, I've messed up, but I'm going to teach you things so that you won't. And so the Bible's able to keep us from falling. And there's that amazing verse in 1 Corinthians that tells us that when we're tempted, we'll not be tempted beyond what we can bear because God will provide a way out for us. And that's a wonderful thing. And I've been in roads, driving roads. I used to drive coaches many years ago. And I remember one of the questions that you had to answer when you did your highway code was, what is brake fade? And it was if you kept your foot on the foot brake, that the brake drums would heat up and your brakes would become less effective. Then that brought in those days, I don't know what it is now, Telmas, there were kind of electronic retarders and things like that. It slowed down the drive shaft, I think it was. And so there was different ways, and exhauster brakes and different things. But you'll come to different places in the road and there'll be like an escape lane. That if something was to happen to your brakes, and you'll see them, they're packed full of gravel, and you can come off the highway and go onto them, and it will slow you down. And I just see that as an escape route. They have it in F1 as well, that there's these kind of places that you can go. And God provides that place because he is able to keep us from falling. Fourthly, God's power and his word are able to build us up. We can read about that in Acts 20, 32. So the importance of God's word, the importance of listening to God's word, being in person, online, podcasts, whatever, God is able to build us up. God's word builds us up. There's no quick fixes in the kingdom of God. And then he's able to make us stand. Number five, you can read about that in Romans 14 and 4. You know, there's over 250 references in the Bible to stand. When I think of being able to stand, I think of my early days as a Christian, when I read lots of books about the persecuted church. In those days, it was by the communists in Eastern Europe, and there's still persecution in different parts of Eastern Europe, places like Belarus, and of course, North Korea is number one on the list, and there are many places all over the world where people are taking a stand, and very often the cost of their own lives. Great books. God is able to help us to stand. Think of Martin Luther and his appearance before all the religious rulers of the day. It was a catalyst for the Protestant Reformation. And at the end of his speech, he says, "Here I stand." And his biography was called by the same title, "Here I Stand." It's just amazing how God is able to help us. He's able to help us to stand. He's able to establish us in him. But it's not just for the persecuted church, it's for all of us. Paul writes to the Philippians and he writes to the Corinthians that they should stand firm in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm, let nothing move you." It's part of the fearless verse. "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage, be strong, be fearless men." And that's what God wants us to be. And so over and over again in the Bible, we read this about God causing us to stand. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. Stand against injustice. Stand for our family. Stand for our convictions. Because it said if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. But the Bible calls us to stand for particular things. When I think of this, I'm reminded of Shammah, the man who stood his ground in that lentil patch in 2 Samuel 23. And we've had a great passage in Ephesians 6 that over and over again tells us to stand. Hymns have been written about it. Hymns old and hymns new. "I will stand, I will stand, I will stand in Jesus' name. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Stand up for Jesus." All these things, amazing things. And as I draw this to a close, I just want to say, I don't have time, I'll just give you a couple of headings. He's able to keep us as well. He's able to keep that which we've committed to him against that day. And finally, he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power at work within us. You know, there was a day when God said to Abraham, he said, "I want to take you outside and show you something." He took him outside and he says, "Look up to the heavens." And he says, "Look at these stars." And Abraham and his wife had been unable to have children. They were getting older, getting past the years of childbearing. And God says, "Come for a walk with me." He come outside and he says, "Look it up at these stars." He says, "These stars are like what your descendants are going to be like. You're going to have descendants as numerous as these stars." I mean, that was an incomprehensible thing that he says to Abraham at that time. I tried to find out how many stars there are in the universe. I mean, how many can you see with the naked eye? Quite a few. Then if you was to take a telescope, whoa, it's just like huge. And then I read that it was estimated that there are 100 million stars in the average galaxy, and there are 2 trillion galaxies. Now, if I tried to put that into my calculator, it would probably blow a fuse. 100 million times 2 trillion, and probably they're counting still. You know, that's amazing. God says through Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your ways." One of the presidents of the United States used to take one of his colleagues out. He says, "Look up at the stars." And after a while, he says, "That's good. I think we feel small enough again." I like that. I thought it's really good. You go out and you think, wow, God, you are amazing. And you know this, there's no limits to what he can do. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So these are seven things. I haven't gone into them all in great detail. He's able to make all grace abound. He's able to establish you. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to build you up. He's able to make you stand. He's able to keep you and keep that which was committed until that day. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. If you're here today or watching online and you don't know that God, I'm going to press some...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.